Hey guys, what's going on? Thank you so much for tuning in to Know This. Been a long time, but I have some good news for the chronic pain community. As you know, there have been thousands, if not millions of people that have been suffering with chronic pain. And the worst part about this whole thing is that this never needed to happen. But like I explained in previous segments, the government decided to go full tilt boogie and decided to just take every single person, almost every single person, off pain medication. Why? Well, like I said before, in the late 90s, early 2000s, doctors were pretty liberal when prescribing pain medication. Say somebody came in and they had a sore shoulder. Well, they would go 300 milligrams of oxycodone or, you know, here's a 100 pills of Percocet or whatever. And they would just hand it out like candy because they were getting backed by the pharmaceutical companies and they were receiving a lot of money through advertisements and whatnot. Well, that went too far for the government, and people that didn't need this pain medication ended up overdosing and abusing it, and it just became this whole thing. There is some truth to that movie, Dope Sick, and I'll do a review on that movie later on. But then what happened is the government went completely just bonkers, and they decided to just say, hey, you know what? You have stage 2 cancer, stage 3 cancer. You're just in insufferable pain. You can't sleep. You can't eat. You've been up for 6 days, and you're just totally out of your mind because you experience so much chronic pain 24/7, thoughts of suicide, and the only thing that gives you some sort of relief is this bottle of pain medication. But you know what? The DEA is going to make sure that your doctor is terrified so that they take it away. The DEA has been making examples, doctor after doctor, that if they are compassionate and they prescribe pain medication and they are not willing to take their patient who is dying or that has an illness that causes them great pain, which there is no cure for, or if somebody has suffered an accident, they will take them off their pain medication. Not because generally they want to, but because every time they turn in the TV, they see a compassionate doctor going to prison for 20 years to life. I am not kidding. It is that serious. However, there is a little tiny light at the end of the tunnel. As of recently, the CDC has said that they are going to change the MME. Now, what is the MME? MME stands for morphine milligram equivalency. Now, why they associate all pain medications with morphine, I have no idea. Oxycodone works differently than morphine. Morphine works differently than fentanyl. Fentanyl works different than Percocet. Percocet works different than, what's that other stuff? Dilophosaurus, or I can't think of it. It's a very minor pain medication. But anyways, you know what I mean. And I'm pretty sure that you guys understand that all these pain medications work differently. Although they achieve the somewhat desired same effect, they all have different potencies. And here's the biggest thing that the DEA and the CDC did not understand in 2016. We're not all the same. My metabolism may be different than yours. Your body weight may be different than mine. So one size does not fit all. So then finally, after multiple suicides, after people just screaming out in agonizing pain, people were going to the hospital and having limbs amputated, and they were given Tylenol. I am not kidding. This is so insane that in 2022, people of all ages, all races, it didn't matter, were made to suffer. The doctors knew that this was going on. The government knew this was going on. You had people making videos with their back split open, and the doctor is just like, I cannot prescribe this person anything more than Tylenol, or I will go to jail. This is insane. So finally, there has been a glimmer, a tiny little shining light in these dark days for the chronic pain community, of which I am a part of, and that is why I fight so passionately for this group. And I don't want to say that I'm privileged to be a part of this community, because I'm pretty sure none of us want to be in chronic pain. We don't want to be a part of this. We didn't choose it. We didn't ask for it. It happened to us. And up until now, we were dealing with it really, really well. the best we could. Most of us, when we have an adequate supply of pain medications, we're able to live about 90% of our life. That's in best. You know, sure, there's other people that have it worse off, and my heart goes out to them, and maybe, you know, they weren't as fortunate, but they were at least being able to manage their pain. But when doctors started taking away pain medication, you know, and creating the anxiety of just going to your chronic pain clinic, and I think even now, everyone, because of the atmosphere that we're in, every time we go to our pain clinic, which we should be able to see our primary care physician, that's how it's supposed to be. Let me step back a little bit before I go forward. So originally, every single person that had a, you know, your private physician, your family doctor, they were allowed to prescribe you pain medication. Excuse me. And no matter what, they would work with you. That was your family doctor. That was your private physician. That was the person that you built up a rapport, you built up a trust, and somewhat of a friendship with. Then the government made it to where your primary care physician could no longer prescribe pain medication. So then everyone was forced to go to these chronic pain clinics, which were not designed. Again, they were not designed to hold these many patients. Now, what is these many? Well, at my current chronic pain clinic, my doctor is currently seeing over 500 patients. That is insane. That does not make sense. That is not logical. But we're talking about the DEA, and there's nothing logic about the DEA. So when every single person that was on pain medication had the ability to go to their local doctor, the doctor down the street, the one that they've known for years, their whole life maybe, all of a sudden was told that they can no longer prescribe pain medication. Maybe you don't have a chronic pain clinic in your area, or maybe that chronic pain clinic did not trust you for whatever reason. It happens. There are people that get put into these places in wheelchairs, and they wheel in and they're like, "Hey doc, I am in insufferable pain. I feel like I'm dying. I just want to end it. I am so miserable. I don't have any quality of life." You know what? We don't believe in opioid pain medication, so maybe try the next person. And they may go through five places until they find someone who can help manage their pain. Because unfortunately, and I understand where they're coming from, but a lot of doctors today are just scared to prescribe, and understandably so. But people need to take a stand, and that's what has been happening. So when these people were denied, they tried clinic after clinic after clinic, which some people like to call doctor shopping. But no, that's trying to find adequate medical care. And if you don't like the person you're seeing, you have every right to go see whoever you want. So then finally, when you get to a place where they're compassionate and they say, oh my God, you know, I can't believe that this hasn't been taken care of. Yes, of course. Well, here's the problem. Maybe that clinic is 4 hours away versus your compassionate, friendly neighborhood doctor that was about 10 minutes away from your house. You now have to drive 4 hours, maybe out of state, some cases, maybe multiple states over, to go and find someone. Not everyone who is a chronic pain patient is able to walk. A lot of chronic pain patients are wheelchair bound, or they're bedridden, or they're just, you know, not able to move as well, or maybe they don't have transportation, maybe they're on a fixed income. You know, pick your reason here. But they have further now put these people in a position where it makes it 10 times harder for them to go to their appointments. And before, where you could get a 3-month prescription, in some cases, people only get 1 week or 10 days. So that means every 7 days or every 10 days, you have to go and make that trip again and again and again. Now, also, when you get there, you're getting treated like a sex offender. You have to fill out all these forms. You have to register. You have to give up this. You have to give up that. Then you get brought into a back room, and they make you take a urinalysis to make sure that you're not taking something else. Well, you know what? In some cases, where people are not given enough pain medication, they have to take something else. They have to go to the black market. They have to find alternate means of trying to manage their pain. Because when it feels like your back is exploding, it's 3 in the morning, you have to get up in a little bit. There's nothing you can do, and you're tired of living like this, and you don't want to think about suicide, but somehow that looks better than living this life. Your other choice is to go to the black market. You go to the street, and you're hoping and praying that the medication that you get is not counterfeit medication from Mexico. What do I mean by counterfeit medication? There has been a company called Mallinckrodt, if I'm saying that correctly, that long ago created a 30 milligram oxycodone tablet. It is light blue or darker blue. Sometimes it has little specks in it. One side, there's a square around it, has an M in there, M as in Mary. Flip it over, there's a line that says 30, 30. The drug cartels have been making fentanyl pills to look exactly like the real thing. There are some people that cannot tell the difference, and understandably so. This pill has been manufactured to look almost identical. Even DEA lab techs can't tell the difference. Now here's the most dangerous part about this pill. These pills and many others like them that are now on the street, and the government created this. And we'll talk about that in a second too. And I know I'm kind of going all over the place here, but there's a point to this. These pills look so much like the real thing, so you have somebody that may be 60 years old, 50 years old. They've never done this before. They're not criminals. They're just looking for a quality of life outside of their bedroom. Because before they had it, they were able to play with their grandchildren or their children or their nieces and nephews, go and get the mail, go to work, go to the gym, live about 90% quality of life. Now they're reduced to staying in bed, going through withdrawals every month, crying, you know, thoughts of suicide. So now, instead of committing suicide, they go to the street. They pay about $300, $200 to get some adequate pain medication, or so they think. They get home, they take one because they're like, yeah, I used to take a 30 milligram twice a day, three times a day, whatever. And then they die. Because what they took was not a 30 milligram oxycodone pill by Mallinckrodt. It was probably a 400 microgram pill of fentanyl. Or maybe stronger, or maybe not as strong. You don't know because the people that create these things are working out of a desert landscape. I'm not even kidding. They make these things in the desert, or they make them out of somebody's garage in Tijuana. So millions of these pills come over the border. They come from Mexico. The fentanyl comes from China, gets mixed in, manufactured, pill pressed to look like a Mallinckrodt M30 oxycodone pill. But they are not. Maybe some people get lucky. Maybe they have someone that gets them prescribed and is able to sell them to them. And yes, I know I'm talking about some taboo stuff here. But I hope that if people are out there buying them on the street, they're actually getting the real thing. Because nobody should die over wanting to have a better quality of life. This is how cruel and how effed up the government is, specifically the DEA. I now truly believe that the DEA is an evil agency because they have to understand what is going on. They have to know. It's all over the place. You turn on the news, you turn on these documentaries. There are people crying in bed, in tears, screaming. It sounds like they're being tortured. The screams from some of these people sound like in one of those movies where the Gestapo is torturing someone for information. It is so terrible. And the DEA is allowing this to happen. So now, in our current time, you can no longer go down the street to your family doctor. You have to drive maybe 4 hours or out of state to get your once every 7 days or one every 10 days. To where before you were getting a 3-day script. Now, also because of this, maybe some days your pain is worse than others. Maybe you wake up and it feels like your back is exploding, your legs are just totally inflamed, and you may need to take an extra one, as needed, as they say on the side of the bottle. You know your pain best. So then you take an extra one. But now that sets you back one at the end of the month. And then maybe you have another day like that because, you know what, your grandchildren wanted to go to the zoo. So you maybe took an extra half or an extra two because you wanted to walk around the zoo with them. You wanted to relive or capture some of these things you used to be able to do that you still can if your pain was being managed correctly. So you do that. Maybe you do that again, or maybe you decide to go and get the mail. You decide, you know what? I'm starting to gain weight. I need to go to the gym. But you know what you're going to feel like afterwards, or even during. So the end of the month comes around, you're now 10 short. That sends you into withdrawal. Withdrawal from pain medication is no joke. It is one of the worst things I have ever experienced. And I say this completely serious. There are some times when I would rather die. It is so terrible. It is so painful, so bad. Mentally, physically, you begin to lose it. Now, some people would say, well, if you know that's the end result of this, then why would you even get on these things? Because you get on these types of pain medications when you have exhausted every other means. Tylenol doesn't work. Ibuprofen's a joke. Acupuncture may work for some, but not others. Who can afford massage therapy every day? And plus, you're not supposed to have it every day. You know, there's just some things where people say, hey, this works for me. You know your body best. You know what works. You know what doesn't work. And the relationship between you and your doctor should be just that. Currently, it's you, the DEA, local law enforcement, state law enforcement, federal agencies, the DEA, the CDC, and then your doctor. If you can get through all those people, and then, sorry, for some there's the insurance companies. That's why I pay out of pocket. So going back to everything. Now, if we take everything that I just said, and let's dissect it and let's lay it on the table. You have to give your analysis. You have to drive 4 hours sometimes. You have to go once a month or 7 days or 10 days. You argue with the pharmacy because the pharmacy is debating with you over 4 hour difference. Or maybe they're closed, or maybe they don't have your medication in stock because the DEA, again, for the fifth time, has ordered another cut in opioid production from pharmaceutical companies. The DEA has already slashed the pharmaceutical opioids by 75%. Hospitals are running out of pain medications. In fact, I was told that in my local area, my hospital down the street from me went over to the pharmacies at Fry's to see if they had any pain medication because they were totally out. Pharmacies are running low, and now they're starting to get these cheap brands from overseas. If you're a pain medication, I'm sorry, if you're a pain patient and you've taken a company called Rhodes, which is a chalky white pill that really has no medicine in it, you know what I'm talking about. Different medications work better for some people. I can remember when I used to take Norco, and there was two brands. There was Qualitas, and there was Avast. They're both generic, but one form worked way better. One was white, one was like a yellow color. The yellow ones worked better. For me, it's just always been a rule of thumb that the yellow ones, or I'm sorry, that the pain medication that has color, whether that be green, pink, blue, yellow, whatever, it works better. I don't know if it's the compounds that they use or the fillers or whatnot, but they just seem to work better. I've noticed a difference in my pain levels. So, in review, as a chronic pain patient, before where you used to be able to just go to your family doctor, get your pain medication, go home, live your life. Now you have to make an appointment. You're lucky to get in. You have to pay an extra $175 for your analysis that the DEA should pay for. And then if something happens in your UA, because accidents happen, sometimes things do happen. These are not an exact science types tests. Then you're kicked out. And then you go through withdrawal. I mean, there's this... We can talk here for days. But let's go back to what I was originally saying about the glimmer of hope. Enough chronic pain patients have testified, have fought, have died to finally there is some hope in these dark days. Finally, the CDC said, you know what? We screwed up. We really screwed up. The 90 MME was never made for chronic pain patients. It was made for people. Excuse me, it was made for new people going to get pain medication for the first time. And so they finally revised all of this and they got rid of the 90 MME. Now, I could be wrong on where it says they're getting rid of it, but I understand from what I'm reading, they're slashing the 90 MME. They're getting rid of it because they have seen that it has caused too many deaths, too many people to be miserable, too many people to say, you know what, I'm done living life. And I understand it. There are some people say, oh, how could you ever kill yourself? Well, depending on your constitution, when you haven't slept for 6 days and it feels like your body is rotting from the inside out, sometimes it does seem like a fantasy and a relaxing dream for all that to be over forever. And that is sad, and nobody should ever be put in that state of affairs. So finally, the CD said, you know what? We're going to see if we can change this. We're going to move this. Of course, the DEA, whether they recognize this or not, is totally up to them. Because even when the CDC came out and said, hey, this was not for pain patients, the DEA ignored the order. The CDC started this. The DEA ran with it. And then, well, there was no stopping them. It was like a locomotive without an engineer. It just kept on going down those tracks. And at full speed, all the coal being burnt, you know, stacks of blazing smoke, nothing could stop them. They were doing raid after raid after raid. And then, you know, you shut down one of these clinics, that leaves over 500, almost, you know, 1,000 people without a doctor. And good luck finding another one when they found out the guy who practices 30 minutes down the street just got busted. You think he's going to be willing to help anybody out? Of course not. This has got to stop. And I'm glad that the CDC is finally coming around. And hopefully the DEA, if there's any human beings working in there, because as far as I see right now, and this sounds so cliche, but they have the heart of Reinhard Heydrich, the man with the iron heart. He was a high-ranking Nazi officer in World War II. He was the protectorate of Bohemia and Moravia, and he was assassinated by Czech resistance members working for the English in the SOE. If you guys know your World War II history, it's an interesting story. But the DEA, they're acting like Nazis. They really are. They're raiding innocent people. They're causing people pain. They're doing exactly what the Nazis did. I mean, I guess they're not pulling people out of their beds and taking them to concentration camps, but the way they're acting, this no limits, no oversight, no rules, just able to do what they want to do. Yeah, it may sound overdramatic, but they're acting like the Gestapo. That's basically what I kind of frame the DEA. They're the Gestapo. They go in there, no warrant. They break down the door. They throw a flashbang in there. Probably end up shooting one of the dogs or something. And people go to jail for being compassionate. Well, it needs to stop. And it looks like we're heading in that direction. But this all remains to be seen. I urge you to look it up. It's going to be going in, I believe, in May is when they said that the thing was finally going to go through and pass. But I hope it does. And I hope the DEA gets on board because we're losing way too many people. And for people on the other side that say, oh, you know, I lost my daughter to pain medication because she injured her knee playing basketball or volleyball. And she decided to become a daily snort 30 pills a day type person. That is not the fault of chronic pain patients. That is not the fault of doctors. That is you being a bad parent. Because education is key. If your kid is going out and snorting pills, then you need to do a better job educating your child. And my heart goes out that you may have lost a loved one. But one person's mistake should not affect millions. And that's what happened. Because here's the thing. Drug addicts are always willing to go and get their fix on the street or from someplace else. Pain patients are not going to be like, well, you know what? I didn't get my oxycodone today. I think I'm going to go shoot heroin. Legitimate, real chronic pain patients, like the people that are being affected by these stupid rules. Actually, you know what? The MME was not even a rule. It was a suggestion. And then the DEA somehow just treated it like it was a law. But yes, your chronic pain patient, if they can't get their pain medication, they're not going to go to the street and buy some black tar. Your drug addict will. Your drug addict will always find a way to get high. They'll always find a way to overdose. That's just how things are. But even then, it would be safe to say that when we had real pain medication being sold on the street illicitly, that people were probably better off because they were getting the real thing versus today when they go to the street and they buy something that's going to kill them instantly. You can treat someone if they're alive. You can get them help. You can get them addiction therapy. You can get them into NA classes. But you can't do that if someone's dead. I would rather treat someone who has a drug addiction than someone who's buried 6 feet under. What do you think? Anyways, guys, I'm really happy that we're going somewhere. It looks like we're picking up steam. But this has to be a fight to the finish. We cannot relax. We cannot stop. We have to keep putting the pressure on them. This is something I'm very passionate about. Not only because I'm sick and tired of seeing good people having their lives ruined, but also because this is my fight too. I am fighting for my life. I am fighting for the right to be able to get out of bed every morning and not feel like I want to put a bullet through my brain. And I am very scared every single time I go to my doctor's office that they're going to say, you know what, I don't want to do this, but unfortunately, I have to cut you off. What did I do? Oh, nothing, but the DEA, it's just, they got me nervous. Well, if you're just following the rules, there should be nothing to be worried about, right? Well, no, you're right, but they've already said if I don't cut you off your pain medication like I did every other patient this morning, then I'm going to go to jail. And unfortunately, that is what's probably going to happen if things don't change. Because if that's the main cause and effect, I don't really see a reason to go on living. I don't. And I don't want to sound dramatic, but I've felt what it's like to be off my pain medication. Even after the withdrawal side effects went away, the pain came back big time. I couldn't move. I didn't want to move. No amount of alcohol fixed it. No amount of Tylenol fixed it. I tried everything. And the reason I did that is because I wanted to say, you know what? If somehow there's some sort of fix, I can get off this stuff. And yeah, it's not pleasant. It's terrible. But it passes. It goes away after about 2 weeks. You're good to go. You know, maybe for some there's some mental side effects or, you know, you may have to do some sort of therapies or whatever. But at the end of the day, it's totally possible and it's manageable. But the human body, we only get one pass on that. And we're not at the level of Minority Report yet. Minority Report, the movie with Tom Cruise? Yeah, there we go. We don't have the ability to replace limbs by using animatronics and all that stuff just yet. I think we're getting there. I think someday we'll see a lot of medical breakthroughs. But we're not there. And right now, pain medication, opioids, opiates, whatever you want to call them, they have been used for thousands of years to treat one thing, pain. It works. My grandfather always said, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Opiates work to reduce and sometimes totally cure pain. We know this. It is concrete evidence. My back hurts right now, a lot. I'm going to go take a pill because I know that will manage it. It will make it so I can go down and get the mail that I didn't feel like getting last night because I was in a lot of pain. And then I might be able to go to the gym. I don't know. I'm almost out of my medication. So I'm thinking to myself, is it worth going to the gym or should I just wait? These are the choices that we have to make. We have to decide when we can drive because sometimes, you know, driving hurts a lot. Anyways, like I said, I could go on for days, but you guys have heard this all before. but I think that we're close to getting something done. If not, then I don't know. But stay in the fight. Don't give up. Don't give in. Take care, guys.